Okay, let's take our Bibles, turn to Joshua in chapter number 8. Joshua chapter 8. Whenever you find that, if you don't mind, just stand. Now, we are not going to cover the entire chapter, but almost the entire chapter. We'll go up until verse 29. But I'll probably just start read up until verse number 8. And then we'll be done with our reading, and then we will touch the entire chapter, not the entire chapter, but the entire 29 verses throughout our message. Joshua chapter 8, and we'll start in verse number 1. Now, if you remember, they just lost the battle of Ai. We'll say more about that because of the sin that was in the camp, and God told them to take care of it so they can move forward, and they did. And we'll just look in verse 26. About the middle, so the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. They followed God's instructions, and them and God were reconciled. And that's our God, isn't it? We said in Sunday school, he loves us too much not to address our sin. But whenever he does, he gives us a pathway out. And he wants to forgive us, reconcile, and move forward. And that's exactly what has happened. And now we look in verse 1 of chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. One difference, though, only the spoil thereof, and the cattle thereof, shall ye take for a prey unto yourself. It wasn't allowed at Jericho, but it was here at Ai. He says, Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua arose, and all the people of war, to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor, and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, Behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach into the city, and it shall come to pass, when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us, till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, They flee before us, as at the first, therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush, and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. And then from verses 9 to 29, essentially what happens is Joshua gets everybody in place, and they do the plan, and God works the plan. And the plan is done. And that's a blessing. So I'm excited to get into it. The sermon title is this. God's not done with you. God's not done with you. And I don't know what you've done. I don't know what decisions you've made in the past. But God's not done with you. He's got plans. And so let's pray, and we'll get into it this evening. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love. Thank you for your power that can overcome even the boneheaded decisions we make on our own. Thankful that doesn't thwart your plans. You're still in control, and you're mighty, and you're powerful. And I pray that you help us tonight to understand that truth. Help me declare it. Help us all, Lord, to be ready to receive it and follow you wherever you lead. We love you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. God is not done with you, and he wasn't done with the people of Israel. Now, if you remember, the momentum, the excitement that had been with Israel since they crossed the Jordan had turned to discouragement, had turned to despair by the defeat of Ai. They crossed the River Jordan. It was a miraculous thing. They grabbed they took the stones. They set up at Gilgal. They took Joshua. No, they didn't take Joshua. They took Jericho. And God was with them the entire time. They were excited. And by the way, it's an exciting thing to follow the Lord as you walk in faith. And you take those steps, and those steps sometimes are scary. You don't know where they're leading. But as you follow God step by step in this thing, it's exciting. And they were watching God work in a mighty way. And they destroyed Jericho. It was no problem. God knocked the walls down. God melted the heart of the people, and they took the city, and they were pretty pumped about it. And then they had gone into their next battle, and that's how it works. It's battle by battle as we take the land that God has for us. And they go to their next battle. The problem is they went in there with confidence in themselves. It's kind of really, if you boil it down, what happened. That God gave them victory at Jericho, and now they see this enemy Ai. They minimize the enemy. They don't really consider God in it. They try to fight the battle all by themselves, and they were routed by the army of Ai. Remember, they said, let's take 3,000. They're little. Their army is little. We only need 3,000. Now, if you've been paying attention as I read, they have at least 30,000 or more, and there's another 5,000 they send somewhere else, and then that's not counting Joshua's army, so probably upwards of 40,000 to 50,000 in their army, and they took 3,000. That's how confident they were. And they got just creamed. Got creamed. And in Joshua 7:5, it says that the hearts of the people melted and became as water. They were not expecting defeat. They had just gotten used to winning, and they've forgotten how that happened. It was God who did that. You see? And then verse 6 says, Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face. So Israel was devastated. And we know that the reason for that was twofold. One, they discounted the enemy. They didn't understand how powerful the enemy was. And I think sometimes we go in life that way and we think that we've got this thing figured out. God's given us victory over our flesh, and we forgot how powerful our flesh is. And God's given us victory for so long in this area, we think we don't even need to pray about it anymore. We don't need to even ask God about it anymore. We got this. No, you don't. You don't got this. God's got this, and you need Him. And so he discounted the enemy. But the other thing is, he didn't even consider if he was right with God before he went into that battle. If he would have gotten with God before he went into the battle, he would have found out two things. God would have told him, take the whole army, like he does today. And God would have told him, actually, hold on, don't go yet, because there's something you got to take care of first. And because Achan had taken from Jericho, hadn't he? And he desired some of the spoil. God said to him, you can't have the spoil. The whole army was supposed to leave the spoils of war as a sacrifice to God. And Achan thought that was ridiculous. And he decided, I want some of that. And he saw it, and he took it. And God's power left then and then. Because listen, it doesn't matter how we might say, as we said last week, well, only one guy of all those people, we got 30, 40,000 people, only one guy took. And I'm telling you, friends, it doesn't matter how well you're doing in other areas of your life, God's not okay with any rebellion. If you have a part in your life, if you're like, God, you can have all of my life, but this right here, I don't care what you say. I don't care how much your word says it. I don't care how clear it is. I don't care what the authorities say. I'm doing this. And you can't change my mind. Well, then God, you're not moving forward. God wants all of you. There might be a part of our life, and maybe a relationship that says, I don't care what God says, I'm keeping this relationship. Or there might be some form of entertainment. There might be a show we like to watch, or a book we like to read, or a game we like to play, or whatever it is. And we say, I don't care what God says, I'm not giving this up. Well, you're not going anywhere until you tell God this. God, any area of your life, if you want it out, it's out. And mean it. You're not going anywhere until you've surrendered all. Because God's going to have to be the one that takes you. And if you're rebelling against Him, it's not happening. It's just not happening. Are you following? It's not happening. An attitude you have, I don't care what God says, I'm going to keep this attitude. Whatever it is, whatever area of rebellion is in your life, you are not going forward. And you will live a frustrated life of defeat after defeat after defeat until you go take care of Achan. And it's not like He hasn't revealed it to you. It's not like God doesn't have a plan to get rid of it. God showed them that there was sin in the camp, and then God gave them instructions to root it out, didn't He? And what did Joshua do? He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He went back to doing this, listening to God and doing what God says. Listening to God and doing what God says. And you only listen to God and do what God says if you trust Him. You only listen to God and do what God says if you are surrendered to Him. And that's the life, that's the Christian life. It really just takes surrender. And then God will work it out after that. And so Joshua got back to that. And he heard the instructions from God to find and remove the rebellion. And he did it, didn't he? And it was a process. They had to go, remember? They went tribe by tribe, then family by family, then man by man. And it was a whole thing. And it was a lot. But it didn't matter to Joshua how difficult it was, how tedious it was. Joshua wanted to be right with God, and he was ready to do anything God wanted him to do to get this thing out. And he did. It's a blessing. And the moment they did that, God dealt with Achan's sin. We read it in the middle of Joshua 7:26. It says, "So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger." And listen, we have a way of making a mess of our lives with our sin, our rebellion. But if we'll humble ourselves before him, God will always, always, this is our God, he will always make a way through the mess. And he'll give victory. There's always a way through the mess. It just takes humility and surrender on our part. And that's exactly what happened in our passage and what continues to happen in our passage today. And so now that the anger of the Lord has turned from Israel and they're right with God again, and they've dealt with their sin, God says this in chapter 8, verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land." And so he says, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed." So I hope that sounds familiar to you, because it's the same exact words that Joshua has heard over and over and over again. It's the same words that Joshua heard in Deuteronomy 1:21 when Moses sent him in the land that first time. Remember when God brought Israel to the brink of the Canaan land that first time, and Moses sent Joshua and Caleb, and that's exactly what Moses said through the instruction of God. "Fear not, be thou dismayed." He listened, Caleb listened, the other 10, they feared and they were dismayed. And they didn't get to go in the land. But that's the command that Joshua heard from God way back then. The same words that Joshua heard in Deuteronomy 31:8, when Moses was turning over the reins to him, he said, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed." Moses says, "I have to leave. I'm going to move off the scene. God's going to use you in a great way, but you're going to have to remember this. Fear not, be not dismayed." And then the same words that we read in Joshua 1:9, after the death of Moses, when God told him, "Fear not, be thou dismayed." Because God was reminding Joshua over and over that he was with them. He didn't need to be afraid. And Joshua had messed up. And Israel had messed up. And whenever you do that, and you get yourself in a mess, and you know that you did this, and you know what you deserve, even after God forgives you, even after God shows grace, there's a tendency in us to still be crippled by that and fearful of what's going to happen. But God says, "No, I know what you've done, but you've made it right with me, and you've surrendered that, and you've repented that, and my anger is turned away from you, and I'm with you, Joshua. So it doesn't matter what it looks like moving forward, and maybe even the consequences that are going to come from this. None of that matters. You don't need to fear. You don't need to be dismayed, because I am with you," God says. "I'm with you." And all he has to do is listen to what God says and do what God says. Amen? That's all he's got to do. And so God says that, and then he gives the plan. And now Joshua is listening to God's plan. Last week, we found that Joshua had his own plan, and he followed that. That didn't go good. And so now he's going to listen to God's plan, and here's God's plan. First, God said they needed to take all of the people to war. We dealt with that, right? Remember, as spies, they underestimated the enemy. They said their army's little. They said they only need 2,000 or 3,000. But if Joshua would have gotten God's mind on the matter and taken time to listen to what God thought, he would have known that he really needed to take the entire army. And so God says, "No, you take the whole army." Okay, that was number one. And then God said that they were to destroy all the inhabitants of Ai and destroy the city of Ai. Just like at Joshua, right? I mean, I keep saying Joshua, the J word, at Jericho. Just like at Jericho, they destroy the whole city, they set it on fire. But this time, This time, they can take some of the spoil, amen, and some of the cattle for themselves. And by the way, how ironic is that? Because why were they having all that problem before? Because God said they couldn't take of it, and Achan thought, I'm going to take some of it. And if Achan would have just been a little more patient, he would have got more than just that Babylonian garment and a couple pieces of silver and a piece of gold. He would have had all that he wanted to take from the spoils of Ai. Yep. And by the way, it always works out best. It always works out best when you just trust God's plan and you just obey Him. And so God said, you can take of the spoil. Achan's not taking any of the spoil. But the rest of this, the army who trusted God and left the spoils of Jericho now get to enjoy the spoils of Ai. So that's the second part of that plan. And the last part is this. He said that you need to lay an ambush for the city from behind. Okay, this is the plan. And so Joshua got the plan from God and gave it to the people. This is what he should have done. This was the rhythm of Jericho. I mean, what's my deal? This was the rhythm of Joshua's leadership. And the rhythm of Israel is that God would give the plan to the man of God, and then the man of God would give the plan to the people, and the people would do the plan. And it worked so well. And they got away from it, and it went really bad. So can we as a church stick to the plan? That God will give the plan, and then I'll just take the plan and preach the plan, and then we'll just do the plan, and then God will do everything. And we don't have to worry about how it works, how it's going to end up. We don't have to worry about the results. We don't have to worry about who's staying and who's leaving. We don't have to worry about if our church is going to do well or not do well. All we got to worry about is this. Is God giving us the plan? Are we giving the plan? Are we following the plan? Let's just do that, and we'll let God figure it out. And that's what they should have done in the first place, and that's what they're doing again. And so the verses we read, verses 3 through 8, he starts to give the plan. And so Joshua chose out 30,000 men of valor. He told them to go at night, lie in wait behind the city, and be ready. He said, you go behind. Now, I'll remind you, 30,000 is 10 times more than they brought the first time, and that wasn't even the whole army. And so he said, you take those 30,000, you go behind the city, and you just wait there. And then he said, what'll happen is he'll lead the rest of the army to approach the city. And when Joshua and his army approaches the city, Joshua says that the army of Ai, they'll come right out at him. They'll follow him out of the city. Why? Because last time they did that, and Ai is thinking they're awesome. And so they'll leave all the city by itself, and they'll just follow Joshua out there in the wilderness. And then you go in, 30,000 men, you go in there and take the city. You ambush the city. And whenever you take the city, you set it on fire. And then we'll ambush Ai's army and we'll just take care of business. This is the plan. All right? We doing good? Yeah. And so that's the plan. And then we'll just go ahead and march through this and finish out the plan here. So verse 9. And here, for these next few verses, what happens is they all get into their position. They have the plan, now they're working the plan, getting in position. Joshua therefore sent them forth, those 30,000, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai, on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the people, even the people of war, all of them, like God said, that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And so he sends those 30,000. They go behind the city. Joshua takes the rest of the men. And for good measure, he sends another 5,000 over to the ambush, okay? And that's where they are. And they're all set. Everyone's in their place, ready to do the plan that God has given. And then we will watch as God just makes the plan happen. Imagine that. They're doing what God said, and it's like working out. Amen? That's kind of how life works, by the way. Maybe not always in our timetable and the way we think, but God will work it all out. And that's what happens here. Look at verse 13. And we'll just kind of go through this quickly and and give you the rundown here. So verse 13, and when they had set the people, even all the hosts that was on the north of the city, and their liers wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. So everyone's in position. Joshua starts heading down the valley toward Ai. And it came to pass, verse 14, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early. And the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people. Just like God told Joshua and Joshua told the people, the king took his entire army to go face Joshua's army at a time appointed before the plain. But he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way into the wilderness. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing what's happening? Joshua takes his people, his little army that he's taken, the 30,000 are behind the city. I guess if this is Ai, the ambush is back there. And so Joshua's going down the valley. The king of Ai comes, and Joshua and the people start going toward the wilderness as if they're defeated, but they're not. And they lead the whole army of Ai out into the wilderness. Okay? Verse 16, and the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. This like the plan set. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city, and the ambush arose. And so they get out far enough. God says, now is the time. Joshua raises a spear to that ambushing army. That they know their cue. They ambush the city. And verse 19, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they were shocked. The army of Ai, they think they've got this in the bag, and they look behind, and their city's on fire. Uh-oh. And they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that way, because here's what happened. The army went in, the ambush went in, those 30,000 men, 35,000, I guess, after Joshua sent that other cohort of men, and so they burnt the city. And once they did that, they started toward the army. And so now you have the ambushers here, they burnt the city, they're going this way. The people of Ai and their army is here. Joshua and his army is here. And now the army of Ai has nowhere to go. And we probably know what happens next. The people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all the Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And they issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side, and they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. It came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness wherein they chased them, and when they were fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so they burn the city, the ambushers do. They go and help Joshua take out the army of Ai. Then they all go back to the city and they wipe out the city just like God told them to do. Okay. And they have the king. He's captive at this point. Verse 25, and so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000. Sounds like a little bit more than 2,000 or 3,000, like the spies thought, and even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Verse 27, only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for prey unto themselves, according to the word of the Lord which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai and made it an heap forever, even desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide, and as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raised thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. And so God gave them the plan. They followed the plan. God gave them the victory. And it was different than the first time, right? The first time, it was all God. He just said, march around, it'll fall down, you take care of it. This time, God had them do something. And that's how life is, isn't it? Sometimes God just drops it in our lap. Sometimes God asks us to do some things. But in the end, He's the one who does it, always. And we just trust Him and we follow His plan. And God will bring the results that God wants to bring. And that's the account before us. Now, there's a few important parts of this account that I want to go back and I believe God wants us to learn from. The first is found in Joshua's instruction to Israel. So if you would go back to verse 3, chapter 8, verses 3 to 8. Now this is back when God gives Joshua the plan, and now Joshua is relaying God's plan to the people, okay? And so he arose, Joshua did, and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 men of valor and sent them away by night. And here's the plan. He commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. So he's explaining how this ambush thing is going to work. Now there's a very critical part about this ambush that needs to take place. I want you to see what I'm talking about. Look in verse 5. And I and all the people that are with me will approach into the city. And it shall come to pass when they come out against us, as at the first, that they will flee before them. So he said, look it. You have that ambush behind. We're going to go, and they're going to chase us out as at the first. What happened the first time? Well, the first time is when they went and did a boneheaded thing. Are you following me? Now look at verse 6. For they will come after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they flee before us as at the first. Therefore, we will flee before them. Now, what are you making a whole big deal about this? Well, why would they be so confident? Hey, why would the army of Ai be so confident that they can destroy the army of Israel? Well, it's because the army of Israel has already been wiped. Pause. Why was Israel wiped? Because they did something they ought not to have done. And them being wiped was part of the consequences of disobeying God. Hey, this is awesome. God used their rebellious decision, and He used their, God used their past rebellious decision and used that to accomplish His purpose in their future. There's this mindset in Christianity, in some circles of Christianity, that says, now God has a perfect plan, and you better stick to that perfect plan. And if you get off track, you're done. Hey, there's preachers who preach that way. And I know what they're thinking. They're trying to help the teenagers before they mess up their life to not mess it up. But two things. First of all, unbiblical. Second of all, it's a scare tactic that says, if you don't follow God's plan, if you make some decisions, then you got off track. And God's perfect plan, it's gone, it's done, and you're over. And so you better make sure that every step you take, it's exactly what God says. Because if you don't, the rest of your life is done. Not true. God is powerful enough to work in your life, even if you made some bonehead decisions. Now, I will say, you'd be thankful if you didn't make those bonehead decisions. And you go ask adults who have young people, and you would be better off by just following God your entire life. But I think some unintended consequences of that kind of talk has made some people who have already made some bad decisions, who have already just given up and said, well, I messed that up. I can't do anything now. Yeah, I heard what that preacher said to those teenagers, and he said, if you do this or that, you're going to be useless for God. Well, problem, I've already done this or that. I must be useless. Not true. God's not done. Joshua has made some bad decisions. And Israel had made some bad decisions. And they had to pay some consequences for that. And I bet you if you asked them, they would have told you, man, we wish we wouldn't have done that. But God is so powerful that He can take a life that has been through some things, a life that has made some bad decisions, and God is so in control, God is so powerful that He can use even your bad decisions to create a plan that is still awesome. Now, it might not be the same. There might be some differences. If Joshua would have went to God the first time, the plan might have been different. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter. He didn't. That plan, it doesn't exist. We can't live in what ifs. We can't live on what if I didn't do this? What if I did do that? All of that is a waste of time. We can't go back and do that. But here's what I do know. You may have made some mistakes. You may have done some things that hindered some parts of your life. But here's what I do know. God is powerful enough to take where you are now, and He can take you to somewhere awesome. He can take you to a place of victory. And who knows but that He might even use those bonehead decisions to get you there. Because that's how powerful our God is. And He is not done with you. Yeah, there might be some things that maybe you can't do. But there's a ton of things that God can still do with your life. And I don't care where you are. I don't care what you've done. God is powerful enough, and He wants to use your life. Don't you ever listen to the devil that says, you better just give up because you're wasted. You're filthy. You're broken. You can't be used of God. It's a lie. It's a lie. God can still use you. God has a plan. Yeah. It doesn't matter how badly we've messed things up. God is in complete control still. And can even use our past, our sinful past, for His glory and bring us to victory. He can still bring victory. Now there's going to be some... You're still going to regret some of the things you've done. And you're still going to wish you hadn't done those. And you can warn the young people, can't you? In a way that some of us can't. And say, you don't want to do this. Because I did that, and that made this and this pretty hard. And it's not like it's good that you made those mistakes. But here's what's also true. God can still work in your life in a powerful way. Always. If you're breathing, God has a plan. If you're breathing, God has a plan. And you're not broken. You're not washed up. God can use you. I've seen God use people. And God's in the business of using people who have made bonehead decisions. You track the life of Moses. You track the life of Paul. You track the life of David. And God used those men. And they were boneheads. But here's how God used them. They humbled themselves before God and said, God, you know what I've done, and I wish I didn't. And what did David pray? Create in me a clean heart. God can still do that. And renew a right spirit within me that I can go and tell others about you. And God used David, even though he's done a lot of bad things. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're all unclean in some way or another. And we need God to work. And God is never, never wringing His hands and thinking, oh man, you did that, so I don't know what I'm going to do. No, God can still use you. God can still use you. And He intends to, if you'll let Him. Here's all it takes. God, what do you want me to do? And then we find out what God wants, and then we do it. And there's always a path. There's always a path through the mess, always. Yeah. So that's number one. Number two is, even though they did all of this and they messed up royally in Ai the first time, God still allowed them to benefit from the spoils of Ai, didn't He? Our God's not a bench. No, He's not a God who holds grudges, is He? He deals with our sin, and then He moves forward in our life. And it's not like God says, "Nope, you messed up here, so the rest of your time here in Canaan, you messed up. You're never going to have anything fun. You're just going to have to serve me and be miserable." No, God said, "I know what you did in Ai, and you got that out of your life, and my anger is turned away from you. Go ahead and enjoy the spoils of Ai." That's what they did. Verse 2, "And thou shalt due to Ai and her king, as thou didst unto Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof. There's only one catch, and only one difference between this and Jericho. This time, you go ahead and take up the spoils. You take up the cattle. It's exactly what they did in verse 27. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey to themselves. According to the word of the Lord, God said, take of the spoils. And they did. Amen. Now, remember Achan's sin. We made this point, but I'll make it again. His sin was wanting to take for himself from the spoils of Jericho. But God said no. God said no spoils from Jericho. And we said it's ironic because Achan could have just waited one more battle. Could have just waited one more battle. And he would have had all of the spoils he wanted from Ai. But he was impatient. He thought, if I don't get the spoils now, I'm never going to get any spoils. I think teenagers think that way sometimes. Man, if I... this is my chance. I'm in my prime. I'm 17, you know? And if I don't do this now, I'll never be able to have any fun. Wrong. You wait on God, and not only will you have better fun, but you won't have to regret the fun you shouldn't have had in the past. Don't sow the wild oats or whatever it is. Burn them. Burn the wild oats. No wild, okay? Be patient. Follow God. And he'll give you the spoils in time. And you know, if you're here today and you say, yeah, I did. I did the wild oat thing. And God can still give you the spoils. Yeah, you'll regret some of the stuff you've done in the past. But God still has some spoils for you. But Achan was impatient. He went his own way. And listen, God couldn't ignore that. God couldn't ignore that. He wants to forgive you for those things, but he can't ignore it. And so he told them how to deal with it. And Israel dealt with it. And once it was dealt with, the moment it was dealt with, our God wants to bless. He wants to work. But we have to let him. And we have to route out what we need routed out. And the moment they dealt with their sin, God gave them the benefit of the land of Ai. Yeah. God's plan and his timing is always better than our plan and our timing. Listen, if you get ahead of God and you take what's not yours, God cannot ignore that. And God will deal with it. But if you follow God's plan through that, it doesn't mean that God won't let you benefit from the next battle. Some of us think that we're just going to continually pay for this the rest of our life and never be happy. Not true. Not true. Just deal with it and move forward. God will give you, he'll give you spoils from the next battle. But you've got to deal with your rebellion before you can. You've got to deal with it. You've got to deal with it. Yeah. One more. God wanted to remember, he wanted them to remember their outward victories and their inward victories. Look at verse 29 of chapter 8. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. And so the day that Joshua wrote this book, that heap of stones was still there. Why? He wanted them to remember what God did in giving them the victory at Ai. But here's the thing, that's not the only pile of stones that are there. Do you remember the other pile of stones that were there from last chapter? Now there's the 12 stones, different pile, that's not a heap of stones. There's a heap of stones here in Ai with the king underneath it, but there's another heap of stones. Look at Joshua 7:26 where it says, and they raised over him, who's him? Achan, a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. And so there are two heaps, at this point there's at least two heaps of stones. One heap of stones has the king of Ai in, where God brought victory, where they followed God, and God brought victory. The other pile of stones has Achan under it, where they followed their own way, and it brought destruction. And God wants you to remember what it's like to live a life outside of his plan. He doesn't want you to be guilty about it. He doesn't want you to be riddled by shame about it. But he does want you to remember it so you don't go back there. And every time they saw that pile of stones on top of Achan, they remembered, oh yeah, my way doesn't work. And every time they saw that pile, not so far from the other pile, that pile with the king of Ai under it, they remember, oh yeah, following God's way works. Are you following me? And we need to remember our past. We can't ignore our past. We can't forget our past. We can forget about the shame and forget about what God's forgotten, but we do need to remember this about our past. The things that we did outside of God's plan, doing life our way, even though we thought it was going to be awesome, even though we thought we'd enjoy the spoils of Ai or of Jericho, even though we thought that was going to be fun and no one would find out. No, actually, God uncovered it. God dealt with it, and it brought hurt and pain in your life. Going your way brings pain. Going God's way brings victory. And God wants you to remember both of those things. He wants you to remember that. Now, don't dwell on it. And don't live a life riddled with guilt. But you do want to remember these two truths. Going your way always ends up with pain. Going God's way always ends up with victory. Because there's going to come another time where they're going to see something else they shouldn't have. And their flesh is going to tell them it'll be fun, no one will find out, and your life will be better. No, it won't. Go look at the pile with Achan underneath it. Remember that? And this week, your flesh is going to tell you, you go ahead and do this thing, even though God says, and you'll enjoy it. Not at the end. And there's going to come other times this week where following God's plan seems like a bummer. And seems like it's going to derail some things. And it's going to make your life boring. And your life's going to be worse off by following God. No, it won't. Go look at the other pile with the king of Ai underneath. And it leads to victory. We need to remember the end of what we're doing. We need to look past today and see where these decisions leave us. But God has a plan. God has a plan. Remember that. God has a plan. I don't know what you've done. I don't want to know what you've done. You need to get with God about that. And God can't ignore what you did. And what you did needs to be dealt with. And you might feel that way because for years and years you've been stuck here and you've decided not to deal with this thing. God can't ignore that. But whatever you've done, here's what God wants. He wants you to deal with that, and He wants to use your life. And He can't use your life till you deal with it. But I will tell you this, once you deal with it, He desperately wants to use your life, and He can. He is powerful. He can use anything that's surrendered to Him. Anything that's surrendered to Him, and He won't use anything that's not. And it doesn't matter how clean you think your life is. He will not use it until you've surrendered it to Him. But once you do, He's got a plan. He's got a plan. God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your love, Your mercy. Thank You, God, that we're not too far to follow Your plan. We've never gone too far where Your love isn't there. We've never gone too far to where You can't work in a mighty way. Help us, God, to seek Your face. Help us to find out what we need to do to be made right with You. Help us to be willing to do whatever it takes to go through the process, to go to who we need to go to say what we need to say, to get right with You, Lord, and to surrender our hearts to You and surrender our lives to You and every part of our life, that we can live and surrender to You and watch You work. Help us to remember our Achans. Help us to remember our King of Ai's. And to help us to stay on the path that You want for us. And Lord, some in this room, no doubt, that have gone the wrong path in their life, I pray that You give comfort. I pray that You give grace and confidence that You still have a plan. Thankful that You still use me. I know who I am. Lord, I know the things that I've done. I'm thankful that You're a God who can use people like us. Wicked, sinful people that You can use for Your glory. We're thankful for it. Pray that You help us tonight to surrender to You. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Let's all stand together.